You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having tremendous success. Today, we're speaking with, once again, Peter Rex, an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and thought leader who built a billion-dollar investment business from scratch in less than 7 years and now runs a technology company based in Seattle, Washington. And on this episode of Enterprise Radio, we will be covering the leveraging of the power of persuasion. Mr. Rex, a pleasure to have you today back with us on the program.
Eric, it's wonderful to be here.
And always good to have you. Thanks so much for your time once again. Now, let's pick it up where we last left off. You say that as an entrepreneur, you can't afford to go at it alone. Can you talk to us about your experience here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, to me, we almost have to reverse back to an understanding of humanity. People are created for teams. They're created a team together to work off each other. And proof of this is if you even look at when a baby's born into the world, and this actually came as a surprise to me. I didn't even know that this was true. My brother told me this, and I checked on it. But when a baby's born, a lot of other animals have instincts, but human beings have only one instinct, and that's towards the mother's teat to get milk. But they actually don't have any other instincts. So a baby is completely dependent on us to work with them and help them, right? So we really, from the very beginning, that shows you a human being is very interdependent as a creature, right? We're sort of all in this together. And if you try to go at something in business and as a solo shop and you don't think you need anybody, you're completely wrong and you're going to be dead in the water because there's nothing in business you could do that doesn't depend on somebody giving you something or you giving something back. Even if it's just pure sitting behind a desk making trades, because you're not going to get knowledge or understanding of how to make those trades except if you humble yourself and you actually learn from others who've done it before. Now, if you want to go into business and operations companies, which are most of the types of businesses out there, you're not going to succeed in business until you understand what you're really good at and what you're missing. And everybody's missing certain pieces, right? And then you've got to go team with others to get that. And then you've got to convince other people to do business with you, to sell you, to buy your good or to sell you their services so that they'll join with you in providing the value that you need to provide to your customer base.
And certainly appreciate your perspective there. Now, taking that further, how has this experience impacted your success so far?
Absolutely. Yeah. So teaming with other people has been at once my greatest weakness when I started, where I didn't actually team with the best people early on. Now, in the partnership level, people I partnered with actually were outstanding people. So those are still partners with me after 13 to 14 years in business. And that's extraordinary, actually, compared to other people in business. I think business has a very small shelf life, a short shelf life for partnerships. But when it came to the people I worked with day to day in my operations side, early on, I didn't actually pick the best people. I picked people who cost the least. And those people actually cost me more because they didn't do as great of a job. And then I switched the way I was doing things about 3 years in, and I started just going with the best people I can get and figuring out ways to pay them enough because the best people cost a lot of money. But you have to get creative in how you pay people. So when you're starting out in business, you don't have enough cash. You have to use shares in your company or split the profit, right? That's the only way you're going to get anybody when you're starting, or at least unless you've got some kind of access to money that, you know, normal people don't. But I'm assuming that most people were like me and they didn't have access to a lot of capital at all. So they had to figure out how to scrape by and still get the best talent. And that's what I did. I ended up hiring people who are above me. But you've got to be comfortable doing that. You've got to be comfortable hiring people who are better than you in certain areas. This is something I've noticed that people give lip service to, but they're actually not comfortable hiring someone better than they are in a certain area. I don't know why that is, but ultimately I think it's insecurity. They think if they hire someone better than them, they're going to lose control. So for example, I have multiple examples of this, but let's just say when I was at Harvard, I knew that there was guys in there that were just much smarter than me in law because it was Harvard Law School. And first of all, I didn't go to class much and law really wasn't my thing. I was there to just get the network. But I realized when I was there, there were some people that were just really, really, really smart at legal thinking, legal maneuvering, all that stuff, right? And there was no way I was going to be as good as them. So what I decided was, why don't I try to get one of these guys? And I did do that. Hired a guy out of there who was supposed to go to the best law firm and work with the best person at that law firm. And I brought him on as a partner. Getting someone like that is not easy. However, by doing that, I end up now having him on my team. Yes, he's smarter than me in that area and he's better than me, but who cares? I should be very, you know, for me, that's a consolation because now he's on my team. You know, it would be much worse for me if he wasn't on my team. I have to come up against him one of these days, right? So that guy is still on my team. He's still a great partner. I'll give you a different example. On the media side, there's people on my media side. I'm never going to be as good as they are in filming, videography, this type of stuff. And I have people on the media side now that are just giants. I'm never going to get to their level, but I'm totally fine with that. I'm very comfortable and I admire them because I feel at peace about it because I'm glad they're on my team and not someone else's. But I think there needs to be some kind of like a humility in your heart and a recognition of that you're missing something and a comfort with hiring above yourself, with hiring those giants around you.
Yeah, good stuff right there. Thanks so much. Most helpful. Now, you've managed to accomplish a lot with an unconventional background. I understand you raised $100 million during the recession, and you started a tech company without any Silicon Valley connections. How in the world did you manage that?
Well, in the down market, I raised about $150 million in cash during a time when people were really, you know, just down and depressed. A lot of that was just hustling, like just grit and hustle. And just getting after it really hard, but also being smart. And I would adjust where I was going for capital. I'll kind of give you my story, but there's probably no one way to do this, right? A lot of it's grit and working and kind of outwitting, not outworking. It's playing smarter and then continuing to just work harder, work longer, and just keep coming. So one of my mottos is work harder, longer, work smarter, harder, longer. And really in that order, it's work smarter, then harder, then longer. Because you just got to a certain extent, you always have to readjust at the top of the funnel. How are you doing things and how are you getting after stuff, right? I realized, unfortunately, I don't realize quickly enough sometimes, but I realized that going to investment banks and going to institutional money was not working for me. I'm from a blue collar background. I come from a working class family. I was in construction. Me sitting across the table from some, you know, white shoe firm or really people on Wall Street and asking for, you know, them to give me $10 million in the downturn was not something that was working. I went through 100+. I went through a lot of meetings. I don't even know how many meetings, a lot. I went to just constant, never ending amounts of meetings, hitting the ground, hitting the pavement, did not work at all. I think I just scared them. They would still meet with me. I think they only met with me because they had nothing else to do because there was the Great Recession. And I seriously think that's the only reason why they took even meetings with me. So I had no success there. But I started to realize where I found success, where I found a market fit for who I am, was with people who had been entrepreneurs themselves and came up, people who are self-made. They understood me right away. So once I found that pocket, I sort of came up with structure around how I'd go and attack that. So I went after people that owned large companies, but that built it themselves. This is what I did, and that's how I ended up raising the capital, was doing that and going – and people would give me money sometimes in a 30-minute meeting. They would commit $1 million, $2 million very fast. It was almost like they could see through me and figure out this guy's going to make a lot of money for me based on whatever heuristics they built up over 30, 40, 50 years in business.
And just hearing those details, certainly, I'm sure, as it has me jazzed up the audience today, we're joined by Mr. Peter Rex, an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and thought leader who built a $1 billion investment business from scratch in less than 7 years, and now runs a technology company based in Seattle, Washington, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Peter, it sounds like you've had a deep interest in human nature and humanity. Do you think this is necessary to success as an entrepreneur?
I don't think it's necessary. I think you need to have some understanding of it. But for me, it's one of my strengths is that I understand human nature and humanity better than most other entrepreneurs. So I use it as a strength for me. But another company out there, another leader might have a different strength that I don't have, right? So, but I know that that's one of my strengths because I have a broad background in understanding people. I've also dealt with a wide spectrum of humanity. And I have an education in the humanities and broadly liberal arts trained. So I have sort of a book knowledge and an experience knowledge of people. And I generally am I'm a teaming type person. I've always been a teaming type, whether it was captain of my team or president of the class. I always was somebody that was good with leading people. So that's kind of a lever I can function off strength. I know I'm very strong in that area. And it does, it's a huge advantage if you understand people. And I would say it's particularly a very good advantage in Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley, they have a lot of STEM knowledge. You know, the sciences is really their strong suit, which is great. But they're not as strong in the area of really humanities and understanding history, things like this. And because of that, they don't quite get people well. And in that pocket is a pocket I can play quite well with TrustWork, because TrustWork is a platform for entrepreneurship. It's a platform to allow regular people, everyday people from any spectrum of humanity, any income demographic as well, to get on there and build a business. And being that I understand people better, that's an edge for me. It's a clear edge. It's also an edge in hiring. I can meet with people, I can understand them, I can build rapport, but I can also kind of see where they could fit better within the organization, I think, in a faster way than most entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley would be able to do.
Mr. Rex, as we conclude today, how can others learn from your skills and success?
Yeah, I think people that are listening to this could be from a wide variety of backgrounds. But one thing I think that I share in common with you, if you're a listener, is we both have that fire to improve ourselves. And what you can learn from me is that it's possible to improve yourself and move up in your station in life. You don't got to go set up a business, but you can start running your life like it's your own business, because it is. And start becoming an entrepreneur on your own. Treat your life as an entrepreneur, where you own your future and your development of your skills becomes your equity that you then can cash in later. So you're already doing this anyways. You're listening to this podcast. You're learning about a perspective that gives you education, that is giving you a mental edge over others that you can then apply and to further and advance yourself, your family, people that you love, and to serve other people in a better way.
Well, Peter, we can't thank you enough for taking a moment to be with us here today. A lot we can learn from just a small portion of time that you spent with us here today, and serving is the message I'm hearing, and being that servant leader. Where can listeners get information on you and on your company, TrustWork?
Follow me at Peter Rex on Twitter. And for TrustWork, jump on TrustWork.com, create a profile. It takes very short amount of time, and start building your future, because it's an entrepreneurship platform. It's a platform. We built it for you. That's why it's there. And right now, it might be a little early to build a profile there, because we're mainly present in Florida and Texas. But get a profile nonetheless, and let us start to serve you, but also, more importantly, jump on there and start serving yourself and start moving yourself forward as an entrepreneur. And if you're in Florida and Texas, I challenge you to get on the platform and post for any job, or take a look for jobs that are available and do a bid on them, and start getting busy doing some things, start building the company on there.
It sounds like an awesome idea. And again, Mr. Rex, all the best. Thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio, and look forward to our next conversation.
Eric, thank you.
We've been speaking with Peter Rex, once again, an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and thought leader who built a billion-dollar investment business from scratch in less than 7 years, and now runs a technology company based in Seattle. And for further details on TrustWork, visit TrustWork.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
This is the ePodcast Network.